All right, our scripture this morning, church, is Psalm 119, verse 105. I'll read that one first. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Just keep it. Good to Dick. Well, good morning, good morning. We're in the middle of a sermon series that Pastor started that's called Faith Explored. We have been looking at different stories in the Bible and have been asking ourselves, what can we learn from them about placing our trust in God? The first week we discovered, by following the Israelites across the Jordan, we discovered that we often have to take the first step in faith in order to see God do amazing things in our lives. Last week, we followed the story of Simon Peter stepping out onto the water, and we were challenged to keep our eyes on Jesus when we face the doubt, the wind, and the waves of life. This week, we want to explore what it means to faithfully follow God when he leads us, even when the path is unclear. What happens when God calls us to leave behind the familiar and step into the unknown? We rely on maps and charts and recipes and even statistics to guide us through the uncertainties of life. But have you ever been without those directions? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were unsure of what to do next or how to do whatever was next? Anyone here over the age of 25 may remember getting mixed up and lost on a road trip with maps laid out on the front seat. No, there was no GPS, so we had papers and maps and things called triptychs spread out all over the seat. Talk about distracted driving, right? Personally, I remember an experience that I had many years ago that had to do with me wanting clear instructions. My grandma was teaching me how to make her famous Belgian Lutton cookies, similar to ice cream waffle cone, but in cookie form. Grandma got out the bowls, and we got out the butter, and the flour, and the sugar, and a few other ingredients, but I didn't see any written recipe. Grandma started adding things and mixing them all together. I remember being so puzzled as to how I was going to learn this without instructions. When I asked her for the recipe, she smiled and said that she would write it down as best she could, but the true recipe had to be found in the feel of the dough. She said the consistency, the stickiness or not, could be based on the humidity or the temperature of the room. So ingredients may or may not need to be added. As she led me through the process, I learned that day that the information I wanted, the written recipe, could not have given me the knowledge that I really needed. Instead, it was necessary to listen to her instruction and to trust, not what I could see, not what I could read, but eyes closed, trust the literal feel of the situation. Many times in life, we find ourselves confused and in need of direction. Now we have GPS to help us get from place to place. But there's no GPS tool to help us navigate relationships or steer clear of dwelling in the past or focus on the signs leading our lives to danger. For that, we must rely on the word of our original designer. It's all here, folks. How to act and react, how to love and forgive, how to control your emotions, and keep a comfortable path. Keep on a comfortable path. A path that doesn't promise a life free from pain or hardship, but does lead to growth, strength, and ultimately to eternal hope and life. This is our instruction manual. And when you trust God's instructions, you will find our first point in your bulletins here. God has a plan for you. Our scripture reading today included the words from Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, those are such good words to hear when we live in a world that often feels chaotic, unpredictable, and so confusing. Our plans fail. People disappoint us. Dreams change. But in the midst of it all, there is a God who holds the blueprint of our life. This promise from God in the book of Jeremiah to prosper us and give us hope, it isn't a one-size-fits-all promise. God didn't say, hey, I've got some plans out there. No, he said, for I know the plans I have for you. You specifically, by name. Every detail of your life, every breath you take matters to him. He sees it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and has his plan to give you a hope and a future. There's story after story in the Bible of God leading and guiding his people to new places and new tasks. It's always because God has an intention for those people's individual lives. God made them on purpose for a purpose. The beginning of the Bible tells the story of a world that was created good and perfect, but was eventually marred by sin. All of creation spiraled out of control. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 11, we start to ask ourselves, will God do anything to make things right again and restore his creation? Well, the answer to that question is in chapter 12 of Genesis, through a man called Abram. Later, his name is changed to Abraham. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God spoke to Abram about the plan he had for his life. God intended to use Abram and his family to bless the entire earth, to be the family of God, if and only if Abram was willing to follow God's lead. God said he was going to make Abram a great nation, make him famous, and bless him. Why? For Abram's sake alone? To glorify Abram? To put a star on his forehead? No. For God's purpose, for God's glory, for the sake of restoring his broken creation. Imagine standing in Abram's shoes, leaving behind everything familiar, stepping into the unknown with nothing but faith to guide you. That level of trust might seem a bit crazy, but that's exactly the kind of faith that we need. God has a purpose for your life. You are not created by accident. You were made for God's glory. Isn't that exciting? Everyone here was made for God's glory. But trusting God's plan for us, our own individual lives, begins with tuning the ears of our hearts to hear his voice, which brings us to point two in your bulletin today. God is always speaking. Are you listening? Imagine someone calling from across a crowded room. They're calling to you. They're speaking, but you can't hear them because of everything else going on around you. People talking. Maybe there's some music playing. Food and temptations everywhere all around you. You see, this is how we live, many of us live, spiritually. Surrounded by distractions and busy schedules, we just aren't even aware that God is right here waiting for us to answer him. I know for the longest time, a bit embarrassing, I know for the longest time, I used to think that God speaking to people, that was just something that happened in those old stories in the old Bible, right? In the Old Testament of the old Bible. There's books and books that give testimony to God's voice and God's instructions to his people. But I thought, well, that isn't something he does anymore. I figured God just stopped talking to people. That was something from a long time ago. That was a time in my life when my faith was, let's just say, not so strong. As it happened, that was also a time when I had moved to a new home in an unfamiliar area. Found out the public schools there were not very good. And so I decided to send my daughter to the local Christian school. She was getting a Christian education, and I was not. One night, I'm tucking her into bed. She was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, something like that. She was telling me a story of how she solved a sophisticated math problem in school that day. She said she thought of the problem and closed her eyes, and then she told me this. Mom, everything was buzzing around in my head, and then God gave me the answer. Being less of a Christian than my daughter was at this point, I thought, it's just a little odd, isn't it, that God gave her the answer? So I asked, well, what do you mean by that, honey? To which she responded that God had helped her to understand the problem and told her the answer. Oh, I said, so God talks to you? I was truly bewildered by this. But her answer was one that I will never forget. She said, Mom, God talks to everyone all the time. It's just that most people don't listen. I decided right then and right there to begin my own Christian education path. I needed to find out a little bit more about this God guy. And oh boy, am I glad I did. So, I wonder if others believe the same as I did, that God only spoke to people in the Old Testament. But there might be something else to consider here. You know, if you think about it, in the Bible days, they didn't have phones in their pockets, TVs with Netflix and Hulu, earbuds playing music at their beck and call, all the distractions of mowing the lawns and the grocery store checkout lines. They didn't have the frustration of low batteries and slow internet speed. They didn't have the exhaustion from information overload. Their lives were just quieter. They were able to be still and listen. You see, that's the thing. God hasn't stopped speaking. He's speaking to us. But with all of our distraction that we have created, we've just stopped listening. It's so imperatively important that we pull ourselves away from this spinning, whirring, devil's distraction of life, devil's distraction of life, and begin to find his voice. He speaks to us in many ways, trying to get our attention in whatever way may work best for us. He speaks to us through nature, sometimes through the people and the circumstances around us. He speaks to us in the silence, in our pain, and certainly when we call on him in prayer. and he speaks to us through Scripture. When we open the Bible and spend time in its pages, we get to know him better. And in doing so, we give God space to speak to our hearts through his word. Make no mistake, God is calling you. He has a purpose for you. He is calling you to obedience. And if you respond in faith to his reassuring voice, God will guide your next step. So, we understand that God has a plan for us and that he is speaking to us. So now we're faced with the big decision, which is point number 3 in your bulletin. When he calls, are you willing to go? So the big question when I was writing this whole thing, I wrote down, are we willing to trust God with our life? I actually typed that. Are we willing to trust God with our life? And then I thought about it. I thought, what a goofy question that is. Seriously, are we willing to trust God with our life? Who else are we going to trust other than God with our life? I mean, I know I'm certainly not going to trust myself, my brain, my heart, with all the decisions in my life, because I can tell you my track record shows that I've made a lot of mistakes. And I know I'm not going to trust the media and all those loud voices telling me what to buy, what to eat, how to be in relationships, what to even think about, and what to do. If I focus on that as my calling to follow, I'll be one big mixed up mess. And I'm pretty sure, for the most part, I'm going to be headed in the opposite direction of God. So, yes, we must be obedient to God's call over anything else. We must trust God with our lives. His word is clear, his promises are true, and he never fails us. Again, there are thousands of promises from God. Thousands of promises from God. Remember our reading from Jeremiah, which told us of the plans to prosper and give us hope for a future? That's a promise. And when considering whether or not we are going to go when God calls us, we might also want to consider the other scripture reading that Angie read for us today, Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I've heard that verse hundreds of times. There's songs about it. There's refrigerator magnets quoting it. Did you ever think deeply about that one? I'm usually very grateful with it. I mean, I understand it's the word. It's the word of God is the light. Like Sue said in the children's message, it's the word, his word lights your way. So I usually just picture walking along a pathway that's all lit up by God. Yay, God, thank you so much for lighting my way. But again, slow down and listen and think and hear those words. And in doing so, you might get a very different picture. I now picture total darkness. No light. I mean, without God, that's pretty much where we are in the world, aren't we? Total darkness, right? Have you ever been in total darkness? Have you ever needed a lamp to guide your way? Maybe up north in the woods somewhere on a real cloudy night so the stars weren't shining through. In the phase of the moon that's called the new moon, which is really no moon. So heavy clouds, no moon, in the middle of the night, in the woods. Total darkness. If you take a step forward, what are you going to stumble on? Your eyes can't even adjust to it. Will you trip? Will you fall? Or will you just stand there and not even move? This reminds me so much of the life we can get caught up in. Just so much chaos, so much darkness, so much uncertainty, while all the while hearing the voice of the media that's calling us in deeper into the jumbled confusion. but God's call to follow him into that unknown is his well-lit invitation to his comforting, kind, and forgiving heart. Following him into his plan for you is stepping into God's light, which he gives to guide you on the proper path, his chosen path for your life. You'll know it's from God if it will glorify God. If you feel that tug, if something in you feels like God is stirring you to take a step without knowing the full picture, lean in, take the step, say yes. Earlier, we sang the words, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me." He is calling us, each and every one of us. Will you let God lead you? He has created you for his purpose, to serve him, and in doing so, to bring him glory. Remember, our faith is our trust. He's not going to hand us a map with every turn marked out, but he will give us a compass, his word, his spirit, and his promises to guide us. And one last thing before we close in prayer. No matter what we face, we can hold tightly to the promise that God is with us. He's with us, not just in the easy moments, but also through uncertainty and change and challenge. He is with us and surrounds us with love as he lights our way and guides our steps. In Matthew 28:20, we find out that the last thing that Jesus tells us before he ascends back up into heaven, after giving us the instructions to go and make disciples of all nations, the very last thing he says to us while his body was still on this earth is, "Truly, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Can you get any better than that? When we have the faith to follow God into the unknown, we are never alone. He is always with us, and that's a promise. Amen. Please join me in prayer as the praise band comes back up. Lord, you are a God of purpose, promise, and unfailing love. When the path ahead is uncertain and our hearts are tempted to cling to our comfort zone, give us the courage to say yes to you. Help us turn away from the noise and the confusion around us so that we may hear your voice clearly. And when we hear your call, may we surrender to you. Trusting your plans are good, may we boldly say, "Here I am, send me." Help us, please, dear God, to replace fear with faith and lead us forward in confident obedience to always and only glorify you. Amen.